is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 40, No Man Alone. The White Sea Palace is a fortress that rests inside a narrow inlet on, unsurprisingly, the sea in the far north of the Mobe clan's lands. The waters are choppy and full of broken ice, splashes of white across black water and over sharp, rocky shores. It's horribly freezing here pretty much all year round. This palace is mainly, as far as Shangqinghua can tell, a watchtower for keeping an eye on the openings into the eternal abyss that exists on the seafloor farther north, and also the monstrous, wow, that's way too many limbs and teeth, beings that surround these vents. And it's also one of the closest things that the Mobe clan has to a beach vacation house. Mobe Jun likes it here. His father officially gifted the isolated palace to him over 10 years ago, when he secretly cleared the path for Fan Yuchen of Tianyi Overlook Sect to take Xufeng Jun's older brother's head. But Mobe Jun was the one constantly sent to check on this place long before that, and so all the servants and locals are loyal to him over his shitty, absent father. Also, Mobe Jun can just pop in and out as he pleases, but it takes a not-significant amount of grueling travel for any family members to pay a visit. They'd have to stay at least a month to make it worth it, so there's no dropping by unexpectedly just for tea. And Mobe Jun can see them coming from a long way away to avoid them, so they never bother to drop by and bother him. The last time that Shangqinghua was here was for his birthday. Luo Jiahui asked him if Mobe Jun was planning on doing anything special for him. Shangqinghua made the mistake of offhandedly mentioning to Mobe Jun that she'd asked this, laughing the idea off. And the next thing he knew, he was on a surprise romantic getaway to one of the most miserable places in the demon realm. It was fun. They didn't get out much, which is why it was fun. But when they did, it had been super fascinating to see Mobe Jun in his natural element, and among other demons for a change. Shangqinghua found himself on a wintry beach no human being would ever want to find themselves on, in the middle of a fucking thunderstorm, looking at the ice demon who brought him there, thinking in a humbling way, "Ah, there's still so much I don't know about you and your world, huh, my king? No characters here. Only people living their lives." It's one thing to think, demons live in the demon realm. That's obvious. Everyone knows that. It's another thing to see that, wow, people really do live here. Every day, all their lives, this is their home. Peng Heng Peng and Xiao Jing don't seem to know what to make of the demons of the White Sea Palace. But that seems fine. The resident demons generally don't seem to know what to make of these wary human disciples that their lord has brought here either. The steward, captain of the guard, general manager of the White Sea Palace is named Hong Hao. Hong Hao is a water demon of some kind. He looks middle-aged-ish. Probably several hundred years old at least. Shangqinghua hasn't asked. Hong Hao has spotty grayish skin and a nose like an elephant seal. And he's taller and wider than even Mobe Jun. Hong Hao's family have lived in the inlet of the White Sea Palace since before there was a fortress here. And trying to make them move off these shores probably seemed like a really bad idea. There's a village here, a fishing and whaling village, also older than the fortress, where trading ships occasionally come by. Hong Hao's people live there. So do some traders and craftsmen who settled here from various other northern kingdom demon clans. So do some distant Mobe clan cousins who probably said to themselves, I hate humans and I hate the heat and I hate the rest of this shitty family and their politics. I need to move to an isolated location where I can live in a hut and never have to talk to anyone or see that damn sun ever again. Anyway, Hong Hao has this new mildly concerned expression all the time now, which it kind of looks like the big water demon has never made before in his life. His face is like he thinks these stray humans that his young lord has brought in will blindly throw themselves under his foot and then he'll accidentally squish one of them if he's not paying enough attention. And then he'll get in deep shit for breaking a human when the young lord said specifically not to do that. Shang Tinghua has no fucking clue what Hong Hao thinks of him. The big water demon didn't even blink when Mobe Jun showed up with him the first time. Apparently the man was somehow forewarned. Mobe Jun didn't use this word, but he also refused to tell Shang Tinghua what he did say, so Shang Tinghua feels it was a warning. He likes to think that there's an unspoken understanding between them, as one logistics man to another. Hong Hao will bring Shang Tinghua lists of the fortress's supplies and the White Sea Inlet's trading partners, so Shang Tinghua can scrawl board notes. And if the big water demon is throwing them out directly afterwards, he's at least doing it where Shang Tinghua can't see, so as to not hurt his fragile pride as the disowned lord of Anding Peak. Shang Tinghua has nothing else to do while waiting for Mobe Jun to come back. If he spontaneously developed a burning desire to follow Liu Qingga's obnoxiously idle perfect buns workout routine to get back in shape, Peng Heng Peng might cry, and Shang Tinghua might have to get Mu Qingfang a new head disciple. They don't even like him staring at any papers for too long. It makes them twitchy. Sure, the White Sea Palace has rooms with sections of wall made of magical ice to show off the view, but Shang Tinghua can't stare out a window to the sea without feeling like he's trapped in some sad background music scene that he doesn't want to be in. It's too weird. Peng Heng Peng has been keeping him company, on and off, for the past day and a half to give Xiao Jing a break. Which currently means that Peng Heng Peng is sitting one chair over, snoring softly into his folded arms. In the demon realm, Shang Tinghua is kind of impressed by this level of not giving a fuck anymore. Because spying on your own sect is hard work. Shang Tinghua should know. Disciple Spots has already spilled everything he knows twice, at least so far as his teacher can tell. And Shang Tinghua really, really doesn't need to hear how bad everything is a third time. His shitty no-good system counts too, right? That's three times already. Shang Tinghua's eyes flick between open mission windows. 1.
Death of the Author, Part 3. The Man Who Knows Everything. Mission Importance, Mandatory. Penalties for failure. Mission objective, return to the sect and satisfy the demands for truth.
And 2.
The Demonic Alliance Invasion, Part 4. The War to End All Wars. Mission importance, mandatory. Penalties for failure. Mission objective, prevent war between the human and demon realms.
Yeah, he's not doing much about that right now, is he? Negative progress for this transmigrator here. Yesterday, Shang Tinghua suggested maybe considering returning to Changchong Mountain Sect, playing the odds on trusting big bro Yue Qingyuan to hold Shun Qingchu back to handle things. But that went down with a crowd like a cultivator without a sword. Shibo, I really don't think that's a good idea, Xiao Jing said. Shifu, I know that's a bad idea, Peng Heng Peng said. According to the system, there's not really a time limit on these worst missions of all time missions. Zhang Qinghua could return to Changchong Mountain Sect right away for that very important emergency discussion conference. Or he could not do that. And not face an angry Shen Qingqiu or a probably sad and disappointed Luo Jiahui. It's kind of open-ended as far as the system is concerned. It's an eventually thing. The cutoff, the you're-all-dead deadline for the second mission is probably just before an offensively youthful Tian Langjun says something like, yeah, fuck this shit, I'm declaring war now, cool? Cool. Peace out, assholes. Asshole. Zhang Qinghua can't think of any ways to prevent war besides, one, give Tian Langjun what he wants. He doesn't know what the demands are yet, but he's assuming it's not cheap in any sense of the word. Two, kill him. The sects have a bad track record with this, and the attempt could backfire extra horribly. Three, imprison him again and make this a future problem. See number two. Or four, miraculously convince a vengeful demon emperor to be less of an asshole about this. It all seems very unlikely. So, he should focus on the other mission right now, huh? Unfortunately, surviving that telling the truth mission really depends on how strong Yue Qingyuan's arms are and how merciful Big Bro is feeling that day. There's not much planning Zhang Qinghua can do there either. Zhang Qinghua's increasingly unnerving peace and quiet is thankfully interrupted by Hung Hao with a visitor, which at first seems like a horrible surprise, but in the end just turns out to be one of Mo Beijun's favorite cousins. At least Zhang Qinghua assumes that young Mo Beijiao is a favorite cousin. The last time they were here, Mo Beijun actually pointed at the other ice demon and said, my cousin, Mo Beijiao. So Zhang Qinghua has to think that his king likes this one. Especially because Hong Hao probably wouldn't be letting this distant cousin in here now otherwise, when only the most loyal servants are supposed to know there are humans here. They didn't shout about their stay to the village or anything. Mo Beijiao looks a lot like Mo Beijun, actually, with the same so-dark-it-looks-blue hair and the same inhuman-edged handsomeness. Plus the same icy blue demon mark, of course. This young ice demon cousin is probably just as tall, though not quite as wide yet, and looks like a young 20-something, especially since he's wearing short sleeves. Holy shit! He also kind of smells like fish. Unlike his older cousin, he also makes real facial expressions, and he looks flatteringly glad to see Zhang Qinghua now. Even though this cultivator is definitely not pulling off a heroic or in any way impressive image right now, lying on a sofa with his fucked up leg propped up and practically drowning under blankets, Xiao Jing has his sword hidden somewhere and she hasn't given it back yet. Zhang Qinghua hopes his bro Mu Qingfang is real fucking proud of this sneaky head disciple of his. Mo Beijun's young cousin respectfully tiptoes around a sleeping Peng Hongpeng. He gives Zhang Qinghua's disciple a long and curious look before yanking himself away and explaining in a whisper, I have never met humans before. Which is a really weird thing to hear. It's not something that a person hears every day. It's not something that Zhang Qinghua has ever expected to hear, ever, much less aloud and totally sincere. There is a person sitting in front of him with pointed ears and fangs and an inhuman sheen to their eyes, admitting to never having met a human being before now. It's weird. There was probably a plot in Proud Immortal Demon Way involving the White Sea Palace at some point for this fortress to exist. Zhang Qinghua couldn't pick that plot out from all the bullshit if he tried. He has tried, but nope, nothing. Still, at some point, airplane shooting towards the sky probably said that the Mobay clan had a beach vacation house next to a sea full of abyssal monsters, and so now there's this young ice demon in front of him, who has spent his entire life in a demon fishing village, in this humanly unbearable inlet, and is so far away from the main plot right now that humans have been more of a vague concept than a reality.
Humans are there than you, Lord Shang, Mobei Jun's young cousin corrects quickly.
Ah, Shang Changhua says, understanding, while also busily shutting down yet another existential crisis with the experience of a transmigrated author determined to have it later. Did Mobei Jun mention that the White Sea Inlet has never seen human beings before? If he did, Shang Changhua feels it should have been mentioned with more emphasis. Mobei Zhao says nothing at first, before he leans forward and says very seriously, as though lives might depend on this issue,
Lord Shang, how do I get a human to talk to me?
What? Mobei Zhao glances towards Peng Hung Peng, then says,
this one is gone most of the time. The other one will not talk to me.
Holy shit. Is this your problem? Are you really asking me this right now? Little demon bro, is this your biggest problem in life right now? Shang Changhua thinks.
He glances towards Hong Hao, loitering in the doorway, who isn't making any kind of facial expression, but in the way of someone totally, purposefully not making any kind of facial expression right now.
Shang Changhua will take that as confirmation that Mobei Jun's cousin really is asking him right now how to talk to a human being. This is a question that is really happening to him in this life when a rejuvenated Tianlang Jun may or may not be starting the war to end all wars on what feels like the other side of the world right now.
My disciples aren't used to demons that aren't trying to kill them.
Honestly, he has no idea if Xiao Jing, being a Chen Chao Peak disciple, has seen a demon before ever. She's probably at least seen a demonic beast before, right?
Yeah, she's probably at least taken a few demonic beasts apart before.
Chen Chao Peak is always going, Shang Changhua, we need more horrible monster corpses to dissect. Get on it.
She's not here for him to ask her. Shang Changhua is pretty sure that Xiao Jing is either mixing medicine back in his rooms, warmest room in the entire White Sea Palace, so the only place to be unless a human being is going to start climbing the walls if they have to keep looking at them, or passed out face down on the bed. From what Shang Changhua remembers of his disciple days and their missions, he never really met a senior Chen Chao Peak disciple who couldn't fall asleep in 2 minutes flat on any vaguely horizontal surface. They make do like that.
I'm not trying to kill anyone, Mobei Zhao says very sincerely. I told her that.
Congratulations! I think that puts you ahead of your cousin, a part of Shang Changhua thinks. The rest of him is thinking about poor Xiao Jing being confronted with a tall, muscular ice demon, staring at her very intently, saying something like,
Don't scream. I'm not going to kill you.
It's not reassuring. Shang Changhua would definitely scream. Oh, shit. Mobei Zhao is probably expecting some real expert advice here, huh? Something that sounds all official and wise. Shit. Shang Changhua is a prolific author of dramatic nonsense and also a human being, but he kind of just wants to say, how the fuck should I know anything about human beings?
Finally, Shang Changhua says, the truest tactic when it comes to dealing with fearful humans, that is, humans who aren't trying to kill you, which these two disciples aren't, so we'll discuss only the other situation, is to seem weak, cute, and or docile.
Cute,
Mobei Zhao repeats. Cute being some person or thing which evokes a heart's pity or protective instincts.
Zhang Chenghua feels like he's spitting out pure bullshit here, but Mo Beijun's young cousin nods like this makes perfect sense to him and attentively waits for elaboration. If you want a human to truly understand that you mean them no harm, then you must first seem harmless to them. Xiao Jing is a healer, a very dedicated healer. In this situation, for example, she probably wouldn't be able to resist an injured demon asking for her assistance or her expert advice. Once she's helped you, then you owe her, and if you're thankful, then she'll know that you probably won't repay her help in a bad way. This conversation is not the strangest way that Zhang Chenghua has ever passed 10 minutes, but it really feels up there with everything else going on. He's not the world's leading expert on demon-human relations, but if his disciples are stuck in this situation, he can at least pass on the basic information to the local demons, such as no hitting for any reason. Mo Bei Zhao insists that he knows this already, but also seems very, very confused by this concept. And for the love of all that is good in this world, speak your intentions clearly.
I did that, Mo Beijun's young cousin insists. I did. I already tried that. It didn't work.
At some point during this conversation, near the end, when Mo Beijun's young cousin is getting insistent, Peng Hong Peng wakes up. He has a look like he's not totally sure what world he's woken up in, but he's clearly groggily determined not to fall asleep again, and he squints towards Mo Bei Zhao with a wrinkled nose. The ice demon very obviously trails off, apparently hilariously intimidated by Zhang Chenghua's grumpy head disciple. So Zhang Chenghua clumsily thrusts into the silence. What do you think about a war between the human and demon realms? Peng Hong Peng blinks at him. Zhang Chenghua has already heard the two present disciples' opinions on a war between the human and demon realms, at length, very loudly. The politest way of putting it is that they don't fucking want one.
I don't know, Mo Beijun's young cousin says.
Would you join it? Peng Hong Peng presses.
Maybe, if it would get me away from here,
Mo Bei Zhao says, in a tone that could make it a joke. It depends on the light.
My aunt would never let me, though. And it's going to be stopped, isn't it? Mo Bei Jun is too sick to fight anymore, and my cousin doesn't want it.
Yeah, but Tian Longjun is probably prepared to go through Mo Bei Jun's until he finds one not telling him no. He's the fucking demon emperor. He can pick and choose like that. If he feels like it, he'll put pressure on whoever is calling themselves the Northern Demon King until they finally call up armies or hordes or whatever to die in glorious and honorable battle against the human cultivation sects for, honestly, no good reason. From one perspective, this shit really comes down to some big shot's fucking personal family problems. Who wants to die for that? Go to counseling. Just develop a drinking problem. Don't make other people fight wars for you. Zhang Chenghua supposes that the average demon in that army will probably be a lot like Mo Beijun's cousin here, young and never having actually seen a human before. And then the average cultivator on the other side will probably be a lot like Peng Hong Peng here, whose natural habitat isn't so much vanquishing evil as it is making sure that the people who do go around vanquishing evil don't get lost on the way there, and also don't end up resorting to highway robbery for their supper at some point. This has, unfortunately, accidentally happened before, and it was a fucking mess and a half to go settle the issue. Big armies clashing sounds really impressive when it's just words on a page. Right now, especially after the Immortal Alliance conference, all airplanes shooting towards the sky can see is more kids who don't come home at the end of a war they didn't start. Peng Hong Peng doesn't look too impressed by the ice demon's answer. There's a loud thump against the magical ice windows, a howling gust of wind against the side of the White Sea Palace that makes Peng Hong Peng wince and Mo Bei Jun's young cousin perk up. When Zhang Chenghua turns to look, there's a demon face down on the balcony.
Not dead, at least, thank fuck. No, the new demon gets back up with a youthful pop, shaking off snowflakes.
Shuang Yun.
Mo Bei Xiao identifies. The wind demon on the other side of the windows walks along the balcony and disappears. Hong Hao disappears in the same direction, but on the inside. And a couple minutes later, the big water demon returns with their window-smacking messenger. The wind demon salutes them deeply, with the sort of boiling, envy-inspiring, offensively sweeping grace that a person might expect a wind demon to have, accompanied by a super unwelcome, dying, frosty breeze. The White Sea Palace has various magical means of communication, but they're kind of unreliable. Reception is shit in this isolated area of the Northern Kingdoms, especially with the nearby abyssal vents, so sometimes the best means of communication really is an old-fashioned messenger. For Mo Bei Jun's shitty father, typically, that means sending his teleporting son. Otherwise, it generally means one of the local wind demons. The Northern Kingdoms apparently grow their demons unnecessarily tall and good-looking. Or that might be Shang Chenghua's fault again. Could this handsome messenger be some poor rival destined to lose a race and or a wife to the protagonist? Shang Chenghua doesn't know. This wind demon has dark hair and dark eyes, a sharp face and a sharper smile. Seriously, a very sharp smile, full of horribly pointy teeth. He slips a message out of his sleeve, breaks the careful spell on it, and presents it to Shang Chenghua with more outrageously weightless grace, which anyone should really know better than to so fancifully display in front of a man with a fucked up leg. More demons and their followers confirmed to have returned to the demon realm or fallen at the Immortal Alliance Conference, Lord Zhang, Shuang Yun says smoothly. Shang Chenghua takes the message, opens it, and scans the information there, listening with only one ear to the wind demon's other reports. At least until Shuang Yun mentions that Mo Bei Jun, Shang Chenghua's Mo Bei Jun, the right Mo Bei Jun, was very recently sighted at the Ice Palace to hear if his injured and possibly dying father had words for him, and will likely be returning to the White Sea Palace as planned very shortly. Shang Chenghua looks up for that. What? Where was... He cuts himself off before he can finish the sentence. Shuang Yun didn't speak to Mo Bei Jun directly. Shuang Yun apparently wasn't even at the Ice Palace itself. So why would the wind demon know where else Mo Bei Jun was if not at the Ice Palace with his shitty father? Also, the wind demon has sidled weirdly close to Peng Hong Peng and was apparently looking at Shang Chenghua's disciple very intently. Shuang Yun straightens up to attention as soon as Shang Chenghua speaks. Peng Hong Peng, grimacing, takes the opportunity to shuffle his seat closer to Shang Chenghua and away from the wind demon messenger in a, "Yeah, bro, that's really not as subtle as you probably wish it was," way. Mo Bei Jun returns shortly after that, while Shang Chenghua is still thinking about what this new information means. Not much compared to the situation as a whole. He wants to dismiss the whole thing as background details, but, well, he's made that mistake before. All the demons greet Mo Bei Jun with respect. Shang Chenghua has to bite his lip not to say something like, "My great and powerful king, where the fuck have you been?" Or, "My peerlessly handsome king, you still kind of look like shit. Could that possibly still be side effects of that venom you apparently forgot to tell me about, you fucking bastard?" Shang Chenghua does his king a huge favor and keeps his mouth shut in front of the other demons. Besides, it's kind of cute the way the younger demons, Mo Bei Xiao and Shuang Yun, both look at Mo Bei Jun with real awe and eagerness. Generally, Shang Chenghua would agree that is totally the correct way to look at Mo Bei Jun.
"Cousin,"
Mo Bei Jin says to the other ice demon. A greeting and a question. Ha! Shang Ching Hua knew that this distant cousin was a favorite. This totally proves it.
I only came to ask Lord Shang for some advice, Mo Bei Zhao explains.
Mo Bei Jun looks to Shang Ching Hua first, who shrugs agreeably. And then Mo Bei Jun nods.
Cousin, the young demon who is going to be coming to the White Sea to train,
Mo Bei Zhao adds on while he has the opportunity.
They truly aren't coming?
Shang Ching Hua closes his eyes.
No,
Mo Bei Jun says. Oh, his cousin says, clearly disappointed.
I was looking forward to that. Go with Hong Hao,
Mo Bei Jun says. Shang Cheng Hua opens his eyes to see all the other demons leaving the room.
Prepare to leave,
Mo Bei Jun says to Peng Hong Peng, who nods. Then Mo Bei Jun looks at Shang Cheng Hua again. Shang Cheng Hua can't stand the look in the man's eyes. Yes, Luo Bingha was supposed to be here. This isolated place away from Mo Bei clan politics with some other young, trustworthy demons for company is where the protagonist was going to come if Mo Bei Jun had actually managed to snatch him away from the jaws of the Eternal Abyss and that shitty, no-good system. They don't need to talk about it. They can keep not talking about it. It's an acknowledged fact. There's really nothing to talk about.
I will return immediately after delivering your disciple,
Mo Bei Jun says. Fine, Shang Cheng Hua croaks. That sounds good. He already knows what Mo Bei Jun will say if he suggests going back to Changchong Mountain Sect now. Mo Bei Jun will say,
no,
like Peng Hong Peng and Xiao Jing did. And Shang Cheng Hua still hasn't come up with a great argument against it, when pretty much any reasonable person would agree it's a good idea to have better mobility than a fucked up leg and a still recovering cultivation system when confronting a pissed off Shen Qingqiu. Do you have everything? Shang Cheng Hua asks Peng Hong Peng. Yes, Shifu, I'm carrying everything already. Ah, good. Shang Cheng Hua clings to the blankets over his lap for dear life, and also to keep himself from taking back the letters he gave Peng Hong Peng and rewriting them all over again. It's one of those situations where everything is so bad that there's not really a good way to say it. There's for sure bad ways to say it, but not really any ways to make the news hurt less. I don't think I've ever felt this useless before, Shang Cheng Hua muses to himself. Unfortunately, Peng Hong Peng is still in the room. Shang Cheng Hua hastily waves, flops around, a hand. Ah, ignore that, ignore that. Peng Hong Peng makes a face like his, pretend to delete that memory to preserve my teacher's already limited dignity. Function just isn't working today. Shifu, he says. Shang Cheng Hua flops his hand with greater desperation. This is like a vacation for me, really, he says. I'm just not used to not having a stack of papers taller than I am to deal with every day. That's it. The sudden shift just really makes a man feel like he's become a drain on society. Shifu, Peng Hong Peng repeats. Shang Cheng Hua sighs. If you were at the sect right now, you would still be injured, and Mu Shishu and Shun Shibo wouldn't let you go anywhere or do anything, Peng Hong Peng points out, with very offensive and unsolicited reasonableness. And if they were letting you do anything, it would be giving disciples like me orders a lot like these anyway, so it's not really that different, Shifu. Shang Cheng Hua lets the fact that they're in the fucking demon realm right now speak for itself. Shifu, you've done a lot already. You should let other people do things for you now. This Anding Peak disciple, a solid and dependable young man these days, a very decent young cultivator, looks too earnest for Zhang Qinghua to ruin his little speech by saying that he doesn't really trust other people to get it right. He doesn't trust half, more than half, honestly, of Changchong Mountain sect to fill out an order form for paper correctly. He's supposed to sit back and relax and trust them with the fate of the world right now? Ah, fuck. There goes the world. He sighs again. Ah, thank you, Spots, he says. How sincere does this gratitude sound? Zhang Qinghua has no idea. So he follows it up with an immediate distraction to ruin anything like a sincere mood. So, that wind demon messenger, huh? Weird, right? Peng Hong Peng winces. Shifu. Getting very close there. The first time he showed up, I panicked and said if he got too close to me, I'd gouge out his eyes. Peng Hong Peng admits, quickly, voice strained. Shifu, I was really tired. I panicked. And now I think he took it as a challenge, and now I don't know what to do except avoid him. Zhang Qinghua almost bursts out laughing, because it's kind of hilarious. He doesn't want to laugh right now, though. Ah, your mistake, huh? Shifu, help! It turns out that Zhang Qinghua really can predict some things about the future. He floats the idea of him returning to Changchong Mountain Sect soonish. Soonish. Ish. There's a lot of leeway in an ish. And Mo Beijun just glowers at him and says, no. Well, Zhang Qinghua kind of gets his revenge later. After he's returned to his rooms with Mo Beijun and all the other demons long since sent away, Xiao Jing in the next room over, and Peng Hong Peng back at the sect, Zhang Qinghua casually mentions that whole out of his fucking mind on some super deadly venom thing that Mo Beijun apparently didn't find worth mentioning. This OP ice demon pauses, briefly, but he does pause, in such an obviously guilty way that Zhang Qinghua nearly hoots in victory. Instead, he cries, what the fuck, my king? It's been treated, Mo Beijun says shortly before continuing his preparations for bed. Zhang Qinghua doesn't let the man get away with that excuse. If his king nearly died, then he wants to know. It doesn't matter if it's all fine now. He still wants to know. Mo Beijun probably agrees to tell Zhang Qinghua the next time something like this happens, though there better fucking not be another time something like this happens, just to get Zhang Qinghua to shut up, because the ice demon flops into bed in the end, kind of like he's exhausted to the bone. My king, Zhang Qinghua says softly, brushing loose strands that didn't make it into the braid away from Mo Beijun's handsome face. What happened to you? Mo Beijun inhales sharply and exhales harshly. But he does, in the dark and comfortable silence of this room, explain himself. Tian Longjun's nephew, Zuji Long, got the drop on Mo Beijun, essentially as soon as he finally entered Jue Di Gorge. The ensuing fight was apparently a mess, such that Mo Beijun doesn't well remember most of it. He injured Zuji Long, he thinks, but he doesn't believe that he managed to kill the snake demon. Trying to distort space while disoriented was nightmarish. But eventually, with focus and determination, Mo Beijun made his way to Zhang Qinghua beside the Eternal Abyss and saved them both using Zhang Qinghua's supplies. So they kind of saved each other. Zhang Qinghua gets to see the lingering bite marks on Mo Beijun's skin. The fact that they've lingered this long on Mo Beijun, of all people, is super concerning, even if they're mostly faded at this point. But Mo Beijun insists again that they've already been treated and that he's fine. Ah, well, excuse me for caring, Shang Ching Hua says.
That makes Mo Bei Jun reach out to pinch his cheek and shake it. It's not that harsh, but it is annoying. Shang Ching Hua slaps at the man's wrist, but Mo Bei Jun's grip is too much for him. So he glares helplessly until Mo Bei Jun decides that he's done torturing his face. Shang Ching Hua rubs his cheeks resentfully, reaching out to quickly pinch Mo Bei Jun's cheek in return. This stupidly OP demon probably barely even feels it, but it's the thought that counts.
What about your father? What's happening at the Ice Palace right now?
Politics, Mo Bei Jun says darkly.
Ah.
My father has said that if he dies, his power will go to me, if only because I am one of the few not behaving like a vulture looking for its next meal.
I guess that looks super unappealing from his angle.
I could kill him.
Shang Ching Hua gives Mo Bei Jun a long look before glancing at his fucked up leg. And then giving Mo Bei Jun another long look. Well, he wouldn't really mind that. He wouldn't really mind no longer having to worry about Mo Bei Jun's shitty father. There's a weird but not inconsiderate satisfaction here too, in that the Northern Demon King may have fucked up his leg, but Shang Ching Hua is fucking the man's son who's willing to kill him for it.
Is it a good time to do that, my king? No.
Do you want to do that? Mo Bei Jun doesn't answer that question.
Is this something that could backfire horribly on us?
Shang Ching Hua presses.
Mo Bei Jun doesn't answer that question either.
Ah, well. Maybe later. We can talk about it after Spots comes back with hopefully lots and lots of news, Shang Ching Hua suggests. He's being so mature right now, in his opinion, ignoring the bitter, bloodthirsty part of him that just wants to say, kill the fucker. It would probably throw the Northern Kingdoms into a bit of chaos, even if it was successful. And there's already a lot of chaos going around with Tian Longjun's return. That wind demon, Shuang Yun, is kept busy flitting from fortress to palace to town to city to keep up with the news. Lots of messengers are out and about right now, probably telling the demons of the Northern Kingdoms to keep calm and not start hoarding food like it's time to take up extended hibernation practices if they didn't already have that lifestyle.
My father was going to start a war,
Mo Bei Jun says. Yeah, there's a lot of that going around, my king.
Even if the Demon Emperor had not returned, he could have died and I would have inherited a war with the human realm.
Pretty shitty as inheritances go, Shang Ching Hua agrees. Mo Bei Jun's expression, even in the dark, especially in the dark, is intense.
My uncle may have been pushing the idea into his mind in the hopes that he would die in a war against the human sects. Now my father is dissatisfied with the prospect of dying a slow and inglorious death in his bed, rather than on a battlefield. Though he has also elected to ignore the embarrassment of being thrown back by the Demon Emperor.
Shang Ching Hua can sort of see that. He fucking hates it, but he can see it. What sort of self-centered, self-important demon lord, high off his own jealousy, wants to go out with a sad little whimper when they could be going out with a bang? He's just so glad that Mo Bei Jun confiscated his father's stolen spear and hid it.
He does not care that the consequences of his war would have largely fallen on me.
Mo Bei Jun says.
Still, it does not occur to him that I might not have willingly taken up this fight for him.
Of course not. Kings don't ask the permission of their heirs for their own vanity projects. If they want to put their empire into debt to build great statues of themselves, then they do it. If they want to start a war because they don't like the look of that guy's face, then their descendants get signed up too, and fuck them if they don't like it. Zhang Qinghua stares at Mo Beijun's cold, near expressionless face. He's not surprised that Mo Beijun is pissed off. Is pissed off his shitty, jealous father tried to start a war behind his back, but... this is a long way from the young ice demon who once held goals of conquering the human realm for himself. Zhang Qinghua isn't sure exactly when that aspiration fell away. Probably whenever Mo Beijun realized that it wouldn't be any fun, and if he didn't die in the attempt, being king of the world would definitely be way more trouble than it was worth for someone who likes to take naps as much as Mo Beijun likes to take naps. My king, what do you want? Mo Beijun shifts his head slightly to better look directly at him. I don't remember if I've ever asked directly, Zhang Qinghua says. You don't want war with the human realm, and you better not, my king, because I'm not looking after it for you or anything, then what do you want? What do you want?
You,
Mo Beijun says. Zhang Qinghua could slap this guy sometimes. He really could. Don't say that.
Why not?
It's a ridiculous line to say. Totally cliche. Did you get that from somewhere?
No.
Well, don't say it. That's not an answer, Zhang Qinghua insists, and buries his face in the bed for a moment, where he mutters, You already have that anyway. It's not an answer. It doesn't count, my king. Try again. When he's forced to come up for air, when he peeks at Mo Beijun, the man is doing something totally inappropriate and unacceptable with his eyes. Who does he think he is to stare like that? He looks ridiculous. It just makes the heavy gray bags under his eyes and the drawn lines of his tired face look even more noticeable for one thing, so he should definitely stop.
I want to be king,
Mo Beijun says finally.
If only to no longer be under my father's power. I was born for it. My life has been what it is, all because of it.
The way he says that makes Zhang Qinghua thinks he means,
My life has, in many meaningful ways, sucked for this. And so it had better fucking mean something good in the end.
Mo Beijun interlaces their hands.
I no longer hold any interest in my father's attention or approval. When I am king, I will have a great and ancient power,
he says.
Perhaps not power enough to destroy the demon emperor for good. But if not for him, power enough to better protect what is mine.
Zhang Qinghua closes his eyes again. Okay, he gets it. No need to continue. He can hear that lilting note of regret again, and he can hear the rest of it already. So they can just skip over that part of the conversation, which they've already had and don't need to have again. There's nothing to be done about it now, and so nothing more to talk about. Yes, that sounds nice, my king, Zhang Qinghua agrees.
Qinghua.
Speaking of protection, the disciples are doing very well, thanks to your warnings, but Spots is still having a problem with that wind demon messenger. He, appears to have accidentally challenged him. Zhang Qinghua briefly describes the sticky situation like he's weaving himself a shield out of words. Mo Beijun doesn't speak at first. His silence starts to make Zhang Qinghua really anxious. But then, Mo Beijun squeezes his hand and says,
Has your disciple stabbed Shuang Yun yet?
No.
The Shuang demon is attempting to find the boundary, to see how close your disciple deems close enough to follow through on his threat. Mo Bei Jin explains tiredly, closing his eyes like he means to finally fall asleep. If he passes out in the middle of this conversation, so be it.
He has already gotten closer than many demons would allow a stranger.
Shang Qinghua will never understand demons. Who hears a panicked, probably sleep-deprived threat from a cultivator? A cultivator potentially going rogue, too. Like, I'll gouge out your eyes. And then gets curious about how physically close exactly sets off the threat. That's nuts! So, he doesn't want to fight or anything?
I have forbidden that.
It's like a dare.
Your disciple's lack of action may appear permissive.
Permissive?
Yes.
Peng Hongpeng hasn't tried to stab the guy yet. So the guy thinks that Peng Hongpeng wants him that close, or else he would have tried to stab him already?
Yes.
Shang Qinghua's head is starting to hurt. It hurts already. A lot of his body was hurting slightly already, honestly. And he really wishes that the latest dose of pain medication Xiao Jing gave him would kick in faster. But trying to get inside the head of a demon is making it worse. Holy shit! Does he think Peng Hongpeng is flirting? Not the original threat, but the threat plus then not following through on the threat?
It is possible.
If Shang Qinghua was capable of laughing right now, he definitely would. But he's too tired to summon up even the shocked and bitter kind. Ah, poor disciple Spots. His wayward teacher really has led him so far astray. Maybe Shang Qinghua should use some of his unappreciated and unwanted spare time here to come up with a non-bullshit guide on demon-human relations before Peng Hongpeng or Xiao Jing really do end up stabbing someone. It's possible that Mo Bei Jun's young cousin has already tried to explain things to the wind demon somehow. Aha, Shang Qinghua isn't sure he wants to know what the young ice demon actually took away from his shocked and rushed advice. At this rate, humans are going to get a weird reputation around the White Sea Inlet. Mo Bei Jun's breathing has slowed down. If he's not asleep already, then he's probably right on the edge of it. He looks so tired. His shitty and possibly dying father is probably taking advantage of his unique abilities again and making him go tell people not to panic, even though there's really a lot to be panicking over right now for humans and demons alike. Shang Qinghua very carefully interlaces their fingers a little more, holding on. I think Bingha would have really liked it here, he whispers. If Mo Bei Jun is awake, he has the decency to pretend that he isn't and doesn't respond. The next morning, Mo Bei Jun leaves again. That leaves Shang Qinghua and Xiao Jing and occasionally Hong Hao again. Getting injured really isn't like a vacation at all. It hurts and it's boring. When Shang Qinghua isn't cold, he's achy. And when he's not cold or achy, he's sweaty or itchy or something. Things are being done without him, and that's stressful. He has no idea whether or not he's going back after everything is over. The original Shang Qinghua ditched Changchang Mountain Sect at some point, didn't he? This Shang Qinghua is expected to limp back there with some explanations at some point, but he might not be welcomed back afterwards. A palace is a pretty good place to be stuck. Shang Qinghua isn't ungrateful on that front. It's a very luxurious hiding place. It's better than some random hut or a cave on a mountainside somewhere, for sure. It's just that the prospect of staying here indefinitely makes this incapacitated author want to bash his head against the nearest fancy wall so he at least doesn't have to be conscious for his descent into total uselessness and obscurity and possible madness. Hong Hao gives him more papers to waffle over. If the big water demon is doing it in a, here, play with these kind of way, he hides it from Zhang Qinghua again. That's something. Because Zhang Qinghua is in hiding, really, the only person to come visit is Mo Beijun's young cousin, again. Mo Beijiao, at least, shows up in style. By which Zhang Qinghua means Mo Beijiao shows up with a huge, or very theatrically bloody at least, gash on his arm that makes Xiao Jing screech like a dying cat at the sight. He looks so fucking pleased with himself as Xiao Jing treats the injury that Zhang Qinghua kind of told him to get. Still, the young ice demon at least gets to talk to a human. Zhang Qinghua's advice wasn't that bullshit, just bad. Mostly this idiot cousin gets talked at by a frantic woman telling him how to look after his wound. But he does get to spin us some story about an accident with a fishing hook that Zhang Qinghua doesn't believe for a fucking second. Xiao Jing apparently reaches her threshold for fear and it all cancels out, or else she realizes, oh, he's like a Bai Chan Peak disciple, and that frame of reference gives her courage. Mo Beijiao, lucky little big demon that he is, also gets a second talking to from a human after Xiao Jing finishes admonishing him to be more careful and to find closer medical assistance than her, or at least to do something about the dripping on the way here. Zhang Qinghua explicitly tells Mo Beijun's young cousin not to purposely injure himself, again just to talk to a pretty woman. The ice demon's agreement is annoyingly insincere. Young people can be kind of the same everywhere, huh? Zhang Qinghua knows so many people who would find this hilarious. He's pretty sure Mo Beijun is going to find this funny enough that he might even snort and kind of smile. It's subjective, for a second, but none of those people are here, are they? Besides that, nothing else really happens. Really? It's incredibly underwhelming. Zhang Qinghua knows for a fact that a lot of people are dead back at Jue Di Gorge. There's a demon emperor making demands that inspire an emergency discussion conference of the cultivation sects. Demon kings and lords are probably making plans. There's probably going to be a war. A really, really big war is brewing out there. And here's him, failing to get dressed properly after giving himself the world's most awkward and painstaking sponge bath, because his leg is fucked possibly forever. The next thing on his agenda is lunch. This is fucking stupid, he thinks. If Zhang Qinghua's life was very different, he probably wouldn't mind this position. Most ordinary people are probably in very similar positions. Ordinary people are doing their farming or doing their laundry or doing a million other equally mundane things. They can't do shit about any war either. They probably don't even know what the fuck is going on way over there with those strange people they've only vaguely heard about. Ah, I think I got too used to being someone important, Zhang Qinghua thinks to himself, struggling through the surprisingly deep indignity of failing to get dressed. Being in the room where things are happening made me get too big a head. This position now is probably much more my real speed, huh, system bro? You hateful piece of shit. Maybe he should get a hobby. Not writing. When Mo Beijun finally comes back, 2 fucking days later, he throws Peng Heng Peng out of the portal. He just tosses a disciple at Zhang Qinghua's feet, and then vanishes into thin air again, immediately. He probably barely becomes solid. Seriously. Shangqing Hua doesn't even manage to get out a, "Hi, my king," much less a, "Bye, my king," to go with it. Peng Hung Peng shivers and hastily brushes his robes. Ah, the phantom feeling of that prickly demonic energy clinging to you. Shangqing Hua has done the same thing many times. The disciple looks fine, if exhausted and stressed and apparently on the edge of panic. Shit, what the fuck has gone wrong now?
A lot, Peng Hung Peng says hoarsely. Just so much, Shifu.
Xiao Jing helpfully whimpers so that Shangqing Hua doesn't have to do it himself. No one is dead, Peng Hung Peng amends quickly. At least, no one who wasn't already dead. The sect is standing, and war hasn't started, but the news isn't good. Some bits of it are almost good, but it's just really not good, Shifu. Some not-so-bad news. People from the other cultivation sects have started to arrive at Changchong Mountain Sect for the emergency discussion conference. Safely, too. And the same amount of pieces they left in. Boshan Tower Sect, Lian He Dam Sect, Feng Feng Fortress Sect, and Huan Hua Palace Sect's parties have all made it. More were arriving when Peng Hung Peng left. Oh no, where are they putting these people? Shangqing Hua thinks. Big bro, the roof of the best large guest house is still leaky, and half of them are due for new furniture. Oh shit, the kitchen and laundry staff are probably so fucking pissed off right now. Not important, though. Not important. More not-so-bad news. Peng Hung Peng was able to meet up with Xin Yuan pretty quickly and deliver Shangqing Hua's letters to the other transmigrator. Kind of good news, honestly. Xin Yuan already had letters for Shangqing Hua waiting and gave them to his Shixiang right away. These aren't responses to Shangqing Hua's letters. Peng Hung Peng didn't have the opportunity to collect those. But they're something. They're everything. Disciple Spots fumbles these letters from Peerless Cucumber out of a pouch and gives them to Shangqing Hua now. Shangqing Hua's heart stops a little to see Luo Jiahui's careful handwriting on the letter on top. She's really so careful when she writes, almost like she's scared of getting it wrong. I'll read these in a moment, Shangqing Hua says. Really good news in a terrifying way. Peng Hung Peng finally found out what Tianlongjun's demands are. The full contents of Tianlongjun's message to the sects still isn't common knowledge. But Disciple Spots ran into Xing Bao this time and persuaded him to share the sensitive information. Who? Shangqing Hua says. Peng Hung Peng and Xiao Jing both blink at him. The sect leader's sixth assistant? Peng Hung Peng offers in a tone that definitely means, Shifu, I have seen you talking to this person multiple times. Ah, that kid. Yes, Shangqing Hua remembers this Jing Bao character now. Of course he knows Yue Qingyuan's teenage assistant who hangs on the man's every word, only a year or two older than Binghe. He just told you? It took some persuasion, Peng Hung Peng says, preening slightly, before he admits. Not as much persuasion as I expected, though. He apparently feels that he owes you a great debt, Shifu. He said you saved his life. I did? Apparently. Xiao Jing delicately clears her throat. Shibo, if I may, Assistant Jing Bao of Changding Peak was originally brought to the sect from... Her voice drops to a whisper. The House of Rejuvenation. Ah, I guess I did save his life. Jing Bao is also the disciple that Shen Qingchu threw towards Yue Qingyuan at some point. He remembers now, after they all got over the shock of the older, gray-haired man they'd been dealing with, actually being a boy somewhere between the ages of 8 and 9 years old. Shang Qinghua is the one who got the House of Rejuvenation shut down, and he's the one who brought Mu Qingfang, the youth-restoring cure, so it's nice to see that's appreciated even 10 years later. Shang Qinghua supposes that might temporarily cancel out the whole traitor to the sect thing. Anyway, Tianlongjun's demands, Peng Hongpeng continues. His expression is very serious now. Shifu, they're completely impossible. Ah. Shang Qinghua was kind of expecting something perverse like that. It fits the character. He says that the Huanhua Palace laid false accusations against him all those years ago, so he wants Huanhua Palace to admit they were knowingly wrong and that they lied to all the other sects, and to apologize to him, along with all the sects that helped them. Ah, Shang Qinghua says again. His guts were already a twisted pile of dread, but this makes it worse, because that demand is never happening. Ever. And he says that he doesn't care if they have to be forced to make reparations. Okay, so Tianlongjun actually just wants to see the sects turn on each other, especially on Huanhua Palace sect. Okay, okay, okay. That's actually super possible, and Shang Qinghua can see that happening so easily. And he wants Su Xian. What? The former head disciple of Huanhua Palace he supposedly kidnapped, he says that he didn't do that, and he wants Su Xian to answer for it, Shifu. But she's dead, Shang Qinghua says, stunned. Yes, Shifu, people have been saying that. Tianlongjun's message says that's fine if true, but either way he wants to see the woman he was imprisoned over. And he says that Huanhua Palace should know where she is because she was with them when they claimed he kidnapped her, or that they should start looking. He says the other sects are very welcome to tear into Huanhua Palace to start looking themselves if necessary. Shang Qinghua closes his eyes. Okay, fine, sure. Fuck. Shifu, I don't suppose that you know where. The bottom of the Luochuan River? Shang Qinghua suggests, pained. In the belly of a bottom feeder? She's been dead for 17 years. There might not even be a body left to serve up to Tianlongjun. She's really, really dead. She's gone. She was never even really in Proud Immortal Demon Way, either. But she matters a lot more here, apparently. Just like Luo Jiahui. Yes, so it's impossible, Peng Hongpeng determines glumly. Unless we all attack Huanhua Palace and burn it to the ground and the Demon Emperor finds it funny enough to call off war. That's a good summary of the situation, Shang Qinghua agrees tightly, opening his eyes again. His disciples are so good at analyzing shitty situations. Poor Xiao Jing looks like she's going to throw up, though. You were right. The news is bad. Shifu, I'm still not done yet. Shit! The more bad news. Shun Yuan had a new letter waiting for Peng Hongpeng, but didn't get to write a response to Shang Qinghua's missive that Peng Hongpeng delivered, because as soon as Shun Yuan got within sight of the wrong visiting cultivator, Huanhua Palace sect declared that Changchang Mountain sect was harboring one of their escaped criminals. Oh, the amnesia story? Changchang believed that kind of story? Also, Huanhua Palace sect was quick to point out that Shun Yuan is the disciple of that dead traitorous Peak Lord, which they think everyone should find super suspicious. Shun Yuan is from Huanhua? Shang Qinghua repeats. That's surprising, but only in the most unsurprising way possible. That suits our luck. Now I'm extra glad I didn't let him come to the Immortal Alliance conference. But really? The palace master demanded that Shunshidi be taken into custody right away. Oh, shit. But Shunshibo, I wasn't there for this, so this is only what Wenshimei told me? What did Sticky Fingers say?
The way that Wenshimei phrased it is,
Shunshibo told the old palace master to shove it up his ass.
Shifu, I don't think that's what Shibo really said.
Probably not. Still, Shang Qinghua suddenly, desperately regrets missing this.
And then Shibo and the palace master got into an argument. Another argument, apparently, over you, Shifu.
The palace master suggested in front of everyone there that you helped the demons invade the Immortal Alliance conference and were in league with Tian Longjun, since you were helping a heavenly demon escape Dwedi Gorge.
Me? Tian Longjun was wearing a Huanhua Palace Sect uniform.
Shang Qinghua says, outraged. He still wants to know exactly how long Tian Longjun was with Huanhua Palace.
Was there an original Cui Liu?
And what that overly youthful asshole was doing while he was there?
Yes, Shifu, that's what Shibo said.
Oh. Though this was part of his response, after the palace master suggested that this was part of a plot by you to undermine and perhaps to destroy the cultivation sects.
Shang Qinghua sighs.
Yes, there it is. Shibo said that he wasn't believing anything from a sect whose word had been so highly called into question, or at least whose competence was severely in doubt, given that the seals on Tian Longjun weren't as unbreakable as promised, and that the Demon Emperor's prison clearly also wasn't appropriately guarded, and that Huanhua Palace had some nerve attacking more members of Changchang like it was their place to disperse all justice. And then Shibo apparently said that you weren't a traitor and that you couldn't be a traitor, Shifu, because if you had been trying to destroy the sect, then you would have had the decency to do a better job of it.
Shang Qinghua's mouth drops open.
What?
What? Shen Qingqiu said that?
Sticky Fingers swore on her life, Shifu.
Wow! What a compliment.
Well, it's not really a compliment, but Shang Qinghua's dread-filled heart desperately wants to take it as a truly great compliment from one of the world's harshest critics. He really wasn't expecting something as flattering as that.
Wow,
he says again. Shen Qingqiu may still kill him later, but Changchang Mountain Sect needs to keep face.
So Shunshidi is kind of stuck on Changding Peak right now, Shifu,
Peng Hong Peng finishes, so that he doesn't accidentally end up in the Huanhua Water Prison or something.
Ding!
Thumbs up! Mission stage complete. The Lines That Cannot Be Crossed, Part 1. Out of Place. Mission objective: discover the origins of the mysterious intruder.
That mission is still happening? Shang Qinghua thinks, while Peng Hong Peng talks about Shen Yuan being too closely watched now for him to make contact with again, and how this is actually how he ran into Yue Qingyuan's youngest and most helpful assistant.
Beginning next mission stage. The Lines That Cannot Be Crossed, Part 2, The Buried Truth. Mission objective: investigate the dungeons of Huanhua Palace.
Shang Qinghua takes back every shitty thing he has said about this forced recovery vacation. All his complaining did not mean, "Oh, please, system bro, give me more missions." Also, he could really do without the system's judgmental blinking suggesting that he should have been on top of this mission years ago.
That's an unnecessary feature. He had other shit on his mind. So did Cucumber Bro. They were busy. Anyway, it was kind of Shen Yuan's mission in the first place.
And I couldn't get a response letter from your sister either, Shifu, Peng Hung Peng says guiltily.
What?
Well, without Shen Yuan as an in-between. Because someone tried to kidnap her.
Oh, Sheng Cheng Hua's heart just stopped working here.
Tried, Shifu, Peng Hung Peng emphasizes. Tried, did not succeed.
Nope, heart still isn't working.
Liu Shushu wasn't there at the time, but Madam Liu was, so your sister is fine. She's on Changding Peak now, in case someone tries to kidnap her again.
Who? Why?
Liu Shushu is trying to find that out, I think, Shifu, but, as far as I can tell, I don't know who, and I really don't know why, Shifu. Sorry.
Because she's my sister,
Shang Cheng Hua thinks despairingly.
Oh, no, no, no.
But Shang Cheng Hua is only really so important right now because he was seen with a heavenly demon, who he's been passing off as his nephew, who is pretty obviously Tian Langjun and Su Xian's secret love child. Luo Jiahui is the mother of the protagonist, and that's also very important. But what do they think Jiahui knows or can do?
Shang Cheng Hua's head snaps up. Holy shit, he says. Holy shit, fuck, fuck!
Shibo?
Shifu, Shifu what?
They think she knows where Su Xian is.
Shang Cheng Hua needs Mo Bei Jun to come back to the White Sea Palace so he can go back to Chang Chang Mountain Sect right fucking now, just to see with his own eyes that Luo Jiahui is alive and well. Luo Jiahui is over 8 months pregnant now. She really doesn't need or deserve any of this shit in her life. Not one single bit of it. But even after night falls again, hours and hours after Peng Hung Peng ate a whole bunch of food and passed out onto a bed, Mo Bei Jun doesn't appear. He just delivered spots and vanished. No word from him. Shang Cheng Hua has no way of reaching him either. This can't fucking become a theme with them. Of course, Mo Bei Jun is super busy with his maybe dying father and a panicky demon realm and other panicky demon kings. It's nice that Mo Bei Jun is dropping off Peng Hung Peng at all. Shang Cheng Hua doesn't really have a good reason to be so angry with Mo Bei Jun for not being here, leaving him alone in empty, dark silence like this, that he can't really breathe with it right now. But this really can't become a thing. It just can't keep happening. The only thing keeping Shang Cheng Hua's company and confidence is these letters, written before all the bad news that Peng Hung Peng delivered. So there's nothing about mysterious backstories or mysterious kidnappings in there. Shen Yuan's letter is someone trying and failing not to say, "I told you so." But it also says things like, "I'm glad you're alive," and "I'm sorry about Bingha." Shen Yuan explains that the Weeper's Eye is safe with him, since he didn't want their big quest item to get confiscated, and that access to Shang Cheng Hua's leisure house has been completely blocked off now. As Peng Hung Peng already explained, Shang Cheng Hua's fellow transmigrator talks a little bit about what people are saying about Shang Cheng Hua now. Probably a traitor, possibly a spy, and most certainly dead. And about how certain people from Anding Peak are undergoing questioning by the likes of Shen Qingqiu and Yue Qingyuan. Shen Yuan thinks that he believably faked not knowing anything about the basement. He told them that Shang Cheng Hua seemed disappointed that Shen Yuan never recovered memories of how he came to Changchang Mountain Sect. Luo Jiahui's letter is a lot more surprising. It says things that Shang Cheng Hua was kind of expecting, like, "I'm so happy that you're safe."
and I don't blame you. Just because he was expecting a kind heart like his sister-in-law to say these things doesn't mean it doesn't shake him to the bone just a little. Zhang Qinghua can't look at those carefully written words without his eyes burning at the corners. If there's any wretched sobbing in this empty, dark silence, then that's his business, thanks. It would maybe be easier if she did blame him for Bingha not coming home. But the surprising part is Luo Jiahui saying that she and Liu Qingge took initiative and told Shen Qingqiu and Yue Qingyuan the truth. They told them that they knew all along that Bingha was a heavenly demon, that they even knew that he was the son of Tian Langjun and Su Xian, and that they and Shang Qinghua chose not to tell people in the hopes of Bingha receiving good training and a normal life. I told them how I saved him and then how you saved me, she says. They seemed relieved to hear that you were alive, she says. She says that she even told them about Mo Bei Jun. We thought this talk might have to happen, Luo Jiahui says. We, meaning her and Liu Qingge, who apparently talked about this, depending on the conference. I'm sorry, Huo Hua. I know you think otherwise, but I decided they should know. Which is, okay, it's a choice. She's probably right. I think they would have liked to hear these things from you, she says. And Shang Qinghua can hear the chiding note there like she's saying it aloud. She's definitely right. She always is. According to Luo Jiahui, Yue Qingyuan has promised that Shang Qinghua can return to Changchong Mountain Sect and that no one will touch him. It's a nice promise, but Shang Qinghua thinks Big Bro may be overestimating himself here, especially since Luo Jiahui nearly got fucking kidnapped. Shang Qinghua can go back and explain himself. He can even bring Mo Bei Jun with him. And Yue Qingyuan really will listen and attempt to hold back Shen Qingqiu from strangling him. Big Bro is either laying a fantastic trap or just that forgiving. Shang Qinghua doesn't think Liu Qingge would stand for it being a trap. Such are the incredible powers of Shang Qinghua's sister-in-law and her husband, apparently. Luo Jiahui expresses that she would like Shang Qinghua to come home when he's well and when it's safe. But Shang Qinghua thinks of coming back without Bingha, really doing that, and kind of wants to physically flinch. Does physically flinch. Even though his sister-in-law doesn't blame him for the plot she doesn't know about. Even though Luo Jiahui also writes that Shang Qinghua's disciple took his own initiative and told her that her lost son is going to be okay, and he's going to come home, and that Peerless Cucumber apparently sounded so quietly confident about Luo Bingha making it out of the Eternal Abyss that Luo Jiahui is choosing to believe him. You say things with different levels of confidence, Huo Hua. Did you know that? I learned to listen for the things you really believe will happen. He sounded so much like you. Shang Qinghua is trying and failing to write new letters, especially since these ones will definitely have to go through Shen Qingqiu and Yue Qingyuan first, given that Luo Jiahui and Shen Yuan are both on Changding Peak now. Also, he'll definitely have to write letters to Shen Qingqiu and Yue Qingyuan. With those letters, he keeps getting as far as, "Hi, Shixiang, please don't kill me." And then he completely loses track of what to say next. If he just writes a letter that says nothing but, "Please don't kill me," repeatedly, Shen Qingqiu will for sure find it super pathetic. Shang Qinghua needs to sound more impressive than that. He needs to sound like he knows what the fuck he's doing. Or at least, has actually known what the fuck he's doing at some point in his life. It's not going well. Xiao Jing is sitting nearby, tending to her medicines like her sanity depends on it. Shang Qinghua has basically surrendered his pouches of miracle cures to her at this point. She saved his life. She can have them. Peng Hongpeng, also sitting nearby, is coming to grips with the news that he may, in the near future, have to go back to Changchong Mountain Sect and admit to Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingchu's faces that he was spying on the sect for Shang Qinghua, just for a little while. He, understandably, doesn't seem to know whether or not to be relieved about this. He looks like he's leaning on the side of hating this situation. There's a loud thump against the magical ice windows, a howling gust of wind against the side of the White Sea Palace, and they, Shang Qinghua and Peng Hongpeng, Xiao Jing is in her ignoring pretty much everything mode again right now, turn to look to see a wind demon hopping to his feet on the balcony. Shuang Yun sprints out of sight. Hong Hao wanders off to let him in, and then they hear muffled shouting from a few rooms over. Back! He's on the beach! He might be injured! Xiao Jing freezes. What now? Peng Hongpeng groans. Shang Qinghua immediately looks at the windows. The White Sea Palace rests high above the rest of the nearby village and the docks, but he can see two distant figures kneeling in the freezing waves of the shore nearest to the fortress. One of them is a tall and dark figure Shang Qinghua knows by heart. That's Mo Beijun. He knows this man by shape, and by the way, Mo Beijun forcibly drags himself to his feet again. The other figure isn't nearly so tall, and is much, much slighter. Not a child, but... Shang Qinghua knows that figure by heart, too. Holy shit, he says. Holy shit! He can see Mo Beijun grab the second figure with one hand and rip open a portal with the other, dragging them both through. Shang Qinghua turns around at the hum of power behind him, the cool whoosh and crackle of a portal opening, and the faint, hair-raising warning of demonic energy. Mo Beijun stumbles through, looking filthy and exhausted and possibly even singed, pulling this second figure, who looks even worse, but is holding a familiar, unbroken sword. Shang Qinghua is on his feet, one foot at least, before Xiao Jing can stop him. Can't walk, he is not above hopping or crawling to where he needs to go. He hops forward now. Damn heroic traditions. He doesn't care about looking heroic right now. The second figure collapses, back to their knees again, as the portal closes and Xiao Jing rushes over to help them. Mo Beijun looks like he wants to collapse too, but instead steps forward to catch Shang Qinghua before he can fall flat on his face or something. Shang Qinghua falls gratefully into Mo Beijun's filthy arms, clinging to the man for support, and the man clings back. Shang Qinghua looks him in the eye for confirmation. Holy shit! You brought him back! Mo Beijun nods.
I made a promise, he begins hoarsely.
You brought him back!
Shang Qinghua interrupts, full of so much feeling right now that he might explode from it. He grabs Mo Beijun by the front to kiss him on the lips and then basically shouts in the man's face, I love you so fucking much! Holy shit! This shocks Mo Beijun enough that Shang Qinghua actually manages to fling himself out of the man's arms next to Xiao Jing and her new patient. Xiao Jing squawks in protest at Shang Qinghua's callous treatment of his leg. Shang Qinghua's shitty leg protests at the treatment too, but he doesn't care. Well, it sucks, actually, but he doesn't care. Luo Binghe looks up at him and smiles through exhaustion and filth.
Hello, uncle, he says,
and his voice is a strained whisper, but it's also the most beautiful sound that Shang Qinghua has ever heard in his life, or any life that he remembers. He grabs his nephew by the shoulders. They're solid under his hands.
You're here, he says. Holy fuck, you're here! How are you here?
Luo Bingha's voice is too weak to answer,
But Mo Bei Jun kneels down next to all of them and pulls something out of his sleeve. Xiang Qinghua watches as Mo Bei Jun reveals a small, modest pouch, stringed to become a necklace. Mo Bei Jun even opens it and tilts its contents out into his hand, so Xiang Qinghua can stare in heart-bursting amazement at the impossibly tiny tooth, a child's tooth, resting in the palm of a demon's hand.